Before we get started with this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid podcast is available at many places, including iTunes, the Stitcher Radio app for your smart device, CairoRadio.com, and the all-new Adore Network at Adore.fm. Let's get started with the episode. Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 271 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, indeed, folks. We've got a great show planned for you this week. Episode 271 with none other than Bournes. Bournes! Not Jason Bourne. Although I did just watch those movies last night. They're on Netflix. The Bourne Identity. The Bourne Supremacy. Great movies, man. They totally hold up. Matt Damon. Matt Damon gets a lot of shit, man, from the South Park crowd. But he's a good actor. Those are some solid movies. Some solid flicks, man. Espionage, spies. I love it. I absolutely love it. Bournes going to be joining us here shortly. This was an episode or a chat that was recorded. At Bumbershoot. Garrett Bournes, wonderful human. Very, very talented. Holy smokes, man! And the pipes on this kid are just unbelievable. We're going to be featuring tunes from his new album, first full length, out on Interscope Records. Oh my God, Interscope Records. Can you even imagine having your debut album on Interscope? Oh my God, man. That's really, really cool. What an accomplishment. Out on October 16th. It's called Dopamine, and we're going to be featuring some tracks from that throughout the show. So make sure you stick with us, all right? And we have a lovely chat, man. Lovely chat about how he got into music and how he stayed with it and how he figured out that he wanted to do it for his job, right? This is what he wanted to do. He's also performed. Bournes has performed, man. Young guy has already performed on Late Night with Seth Meyers. And on Conan, God dang it, man. And just I was watching the show at Bumbershoot a couple months ago, and just checking out the set, because I wasn't all that familiar with Bournes, and it kind of fell into my lap, and I was like, yeah, sure. I checked out some of the songs that they sent me, and I was like, oh, of course, this is great stuff, man. This is good pop music. And went and checked out the set at Bumbershoot, and dude, just a ton of people, just a sea of people just dancing along to some of the songs that they were playing there, and just killed it, absolutely killed it, did a great job playing live at the Bumbershoot Music Festival here in Seattle, Washington. We have a great conversation coming your way shortly, okay? All right. How has your week been? I hope it's been good, people. I hope you've been enjoying the weather, enjoying wherever you're at, enjoying the weather, and enjoying yourselves. Maybe you've got a girlfriend or a wife or some children, and you've been enjoying their company as well. I hope you have, because I've been enjoying mine. My wife and my youngest daughter, Tegan, age one, went over to Alabama, and so me and my eldest daughter, age four, Tatum, just had basically a weekend to ourselves. And here in Seattle, it was very, very stormy yesterday on Saturday. And it was just the wind was blowing and whipping through, and I heard trees fall. We live in this neighborhood that's like north Seattle, and is very, very wooded. Very wooded. I love it that way, man. Like, we're still close to the city. We can get down into the city in like 5 minutes. It's great. We can get to city life in 5 minutes, but we can also escape and be in a very wooded area surrounded by tall trees and feel like we're kind of alone, right? We live in that kind of neighborhood, which is awesome. I would imagine that that exists maybe Portland, maybe in Maine somewhere, right? Now, Maine doesn't have like a huge city, right? What I'm thinking of anyway. But I love it, man. I love being able to escape and be in the woods. But yesterday, holy shit, it was raining. It was pouring down rain for so long. And there were these huge puddles that were just being created because the storm system here in the city does not work great, especially in the north end of Seattle. It's still made out of like wood or something like that. And there's like 4 foot deep puddles that are forming in the road. And we were on a drive and stuff, and we're driving through these huge puddles. Water is like cascading over the front of the car. Luckily, we are borrowing my in-law's car, and so that's what I was driving around. So, I wasn't going to take my own car. I wasn't going to take my own car and ride through that stuff. But it was super fun, man. It felt like we were like off-roading in the city streets of Seattle, man. It was great. It was great. My daughter loved it, even though it was, you know, for me, who knew what could happen. Like, our car could, like, you know, take on a whole bunch of water. Or not my car. The in-law's car could take on a whole bunch of water, and we could just, like, stop, you know, and the car would shut down right in the middle of this puddle that would probably, you know, have water coming in through the floors, right? But my daughter, she's 4 years old. She doesn't know what's going on. And we're just driving through these huge things. Oh, man. Just so much water. And then, I know, very, very interesting story, right? Yeah. I'll keep going then. You guys are just riveted. But living in a neighborhood with lots of trees, man, can be kind of scary during a really, really blustery storm. Because there were all these, I keep on hearing these loud booms yesterday, these loud cracks and booms, and it was trees falling over, man, on people's houses. Trees falling over on people's houses. And so, of course, I went outside because I am a genius. I went outside and tried to see what trees were falling over in my neighborhood because it was super loud. Meanwhile, I have my daughter, like, watching a movie in the back in the studio because, want to keep her safe. Want to be back in the studio, which is surrounded by even bigger trees that may fall over onto my daughter and crush her. And I'm standing out in the front of the house just trying to figure out, you know, is anything going to fall over? Is anything going to fall over? Nothing did. We were safe. The power didn't even go out, although it was out like down the street. But yeah, we're still alive today to bring you this episode of the Air Raid Podcast. Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right. That's what's been going on over here at the backyard, man. A lot of fun stuff. A lot of fun stuff. My daughter has eaten like pancakes for the last day. This is the type of dad I am. I'm not very, what's the word I'm looking for? Creative when it comes to breakfast and feeding my kid. Because it's just like, oh, you want eggs for breakfast? We went out for breakfast the first day that my wife was gone. Went out for breakfast, had pancakes. Great breakfast at the North Star Diner in Greenwood, Seattle. Yeah, man, if you're in Seattle, go to the North Star Diner. Open 24 hours a day, man. That's what we needed in this neighborhood. It's great. Had a great breakfast there. And then for dinner, we get home, and I'm like, hey, what do you want for dinner? You want breakfast for dinner? That's my creativity level. That's my creativity level. Like, we just had breakfast. For breakfast. And how about I make you some pancakes and eggs for dinner as well? That's all I can think of. Yeah. Great story. Great story, Roden. Good job, man. Yeah, you're really killing this podcasting game, right? Oh my God. Hey, if you guys would like, if you're a new listener to the show, which we have many of you out there, that kind of came on in the last couple episodes. We'd love to have you guys go visit our website at air-raid.net. Okay, and if you click on the Archives tab, you can listen to all 271 episodes now with a ton of different guests on this show, man. I mean, look at this. Just listen to this for a second, will you? Odessa, been on the show. David Bazan, John Roderick, episode 131 on the show. Hari Kondabolu, Bob Saget. Let's see. Ben Haggerty, also known as Macklemore, on the show. Man, Telekinesis on the show. Mudhoney on the show. Kithkin, let's see, on the show. Red Fang on the show. Chris Ballew of the President's United States of America on the show. Andy Haynes, comedian Andy Haynes. Brian Posehn, Mike Birbiglia, Pete Holmes, Aisha Tyler, Cumulus, Pearl Jam, man. Yeah, Death Cab for Cutie, DJ Marco Collins, an amazing, amazing band called Ruler. Yeah, all there at your listening pleasure, okay? Free for your listening pleasure, I should say, at air-raid.net. Nacho Picasso, Fu Manchu, Greaves, The Catch, Buzz Osborne of The Melvins, Steve Ranasisi of The League, Paul Scheer from The League, Jason Manzoukas from The League, all here on the show. The Murder City Devils, I should stop. Click on the Archives tab at air-raid.net and go listen to some of that. We're also available on the new network, the Adore Network, at Spreaker.com, and you can find most of them there as well, as long as nothing. Ian Carmel, there you go, on the show. I'm just going down the list. I got the website opened up right here. Duff McKagan, founding member of Guns N' Roses, on the show. Okay. Let's move on. Let's go with our first musical break. I did enough right there. You can figure it out. Go to the Archives tab at air-raid.net. Okay. We're going to be featuring music today from the new album Dopamine, out on Interscope Records by Bournes. Garrett Bournes going to be joining us after this musical break. This song is called Fool, and it's available on October 16th, people. All right. Let's get to it. Okay. Fool by Bournes. We'll be back in a moment with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Stay with us.
Yeah. sort of. Just stopped back in L.A. Uh-huh. For like a week to rehearse all the new music.
Yeah.
Because we've been pretty much playing the same set for like a year now.
Oh, yeah.
Just like the EP and like a couple of new songs here and there, some covers. But just went back to L.A. to practice like all of the new songs for the record.
Yeah.
From the record.
Does it get old playing the old stuff over and over again?
Sometimes. We always try to figure out ways to kind of spice them up a little bit.
Or yeah.
Try different arrangements.
New fills here and there.
Yeah. I feel like everyone kind of... I feel like there's kind of a natural progression of songs.
Sure.
As you
yeah.
play them
yeah.
more and more. And then
well, because it gets tighter and tighter, right? And then you're just
right.
like, you can figure stuff out on the fly. You got all the muscle memory down. Then you can kind of fuck with it for a
yeah,
little
exactly.
bit.
Yeah, exactly. And there's this thing that I feel like every show you kind of try something a little bit different.
Sure.
And then
yeah.
sometimes you kind of adapt to that variation.
Yeah.
And then it kind of, it's almost like a game of telephone. It's like every show is a little bit different and it kind of morphs it in this way that like by the end of tour, you're playing songs completely different than when you started.
Yeah.
And it's,
yeah.
I don't know, it's fun.
I can't remember who I was talking to, but recently had kind of a similar conversation about how like when they go out on tour, oh, it was a band called Torch,
mm-hmm.
kind of a heavy metal band. And they all live in separate areas, right? One lives over in Florida, one lives, you know, in Texas, blah, blah, blah.
Gotcha.
And so they basically, you know, just meet up for tour, and then
yeah.
tour is like practice, almost.
Oh, okay.
You know, uh-huh. the first couple shows on tour, you may not be getting what you paid for, but after that, it's all good.
Wow, that's one way
it's
to do
ballsy,
it.
It's ballsy, right?
Yeah. That's a very metal way of doing things.
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. I guess when you've been around, when you've been playing for that long, then you can do stuff like that.
Yeah.
How long have you guys been a band? How long has Borns been a thing?
Well,
it's a really loud garbage can.
Yeah, what was that? Of course. It's like right when we started talking.
Right, right.
They're like wheeling these train cars through here.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess the band itself, the live show,
mm-hmm.
is younger than the recorded music.
Okay.
Because I recorded my EP like about a year and a half ago.
Yeah?
And
all by yourself?
I recorded with my friend Tommy.
Okay, okay.
Who is an amazing producer from L.A. He's originally from Chicago, actually.
Okay.
So I know him because we're Midwest.
Gotcha.
Connected that
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
And came together in LA and then we recorded this EP. And then I kind of formed a band around the EP.
Yeah.
And then we started playing and occasionally a few members have changed here and there. And so that's why we're learning the new record now because I recorded
right.
the whole record with Tommy.
Oh,
so
okay.
We only know the songs.
So is it a situation where you're playing, like, all the instruments on these records?
Yeah, both Tommy and I are pretty much playing everything.
Really?
On the record, yeah.
That's always impressed mm-hmm. the shit out of me, man.
Yeah, I
like,
mean...
people like you, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get where it comes from.
Yeah, I kind of like a dynamic of, like, two people in a recording situation.
Sure, yeah.
In some situations,
just because it's easier that way, or you can communicate better, or what?
Yeah, I think just between Tommy and I, we have this kind of synergy that when we're recording, we kind of, I feel like, balance each other out because he's such an amazing engineer and he plays guitar and bass
uh-huh.
way better than I can.
Yeah, yeah.
And has a great ear for melody and everything. And then I write all the lyrics and melodies and... stuff like that, but we're always kind of bantering ideas back and forth, and we kind of just balance each other out.
Sure.
And it's pretty much all we need in the studio setting is just us. Sometimes we throw in another person to, like, get some fresh ears, but...
yeah, yeah.
And there is one song on the album that I wrote acoustically with Tommy, and we ended up recording the whole thing live with the band.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one band song on there. But, yeah.
Cool, man. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that, figuring it out with just, like, a couple other people.
Mm-hmm.
I dig that.
Yeah.
How does it feel like bringing other people into it, though, in the live setting? Are you almost like, you know, this is my child? And you better not screw with it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I don't know. I mean, I think everyone kind of gets the vibe now. It took a while.
Yeah.
I mean, it just took a while of us getting to know each other and trying to figure out how to interpret these songs live, because they only lived as just like in a computer for a long time.
Sure.
Just like a Pro Tools file. So even singing them every night was kind of a challenge for me, because recording vocals and singing them in a live setting is so much different, because
right.
you can redo a line over and over until it's perfect, you know?
Yeah.
And I realized that on the EP, like, everything was really high, the top of my range, and I was like, well, that was easy to do in the studio because I had all the time in the world. Live, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
People want to hear those high notes.
Does it kind of mess you up? Because I noticed you had, when we came back here to the to your little green room area, like, you had the whole setup, headphones.
In-ear monitors. Yeah.
Sure, mm-hmm. sure. So does that kind of mess with you a little bit? Did you have to learn how to kind of, you know, just deal with it in a live setting?
Using in-ears?
Well, either that or just, like, knowing that you can't reach something and then, you know, you're trying it, you might, not quite get there, but you just got to keep on going.
I mean, I think just after touring a bunch with the band and everything and just just building up my endurance, I am able to sing it like the record and everything.
Yeah.
Just started using in-ears now, so it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
In-ears is kind of a blessing and a curse. It's like if you have a really good mix, then you're like set. But if you don't have a good mix, then it's like, oh, shit. Now all this weird stuff's happening in my head. This is worse than having monitors, you know?
I mean, I can only imagine, man. Yeah. I can only imagine.
So, it happens. And festivals, too. It's not really time for a sound check because everybody's waiting.
Yeah.
You know, and like, come on, let's get moving.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's just the kind of nature of festivals, I guess. But
yeah, you gotta learn to roll with it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you said you're from Chicago originally?
Mm. Michigan.
Okay.
But pretty close.
Born and raised?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Borns and raised. How many times have you heard that, Connor?
Actually, that might be... I don't know if I've heard Borns and Raised. That's good. I like that, though.
Yeah.
Everyone is telling me on Twitter to wish them a happy Borns Day for their birthday. I like that. Every day is Borns Day in
your world.
In my world.
Yeah, man.
In these clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where did music start for you? Was it a thing in the family? Like parents are musical?
Parents liked music.
Yeah.
My folks
listened to it a lot.
Definitely played a lot of records. Yeah, they played a lot of jazz records and disco records, and both of my parents love to dance and boogie.
Yeah.
Way better dancers than I am. But I think I got my rhythm from them for sure.
Uh-huh.
Because they're very coordinated people.
Yeah, yeah.
they don't play music, but they definitely listen to a lot of music.
Yeah.
And so I kind of started playing like piano at a young age, and it was just another way for me to entertain. I just really liked entertaining.
Uh-huh. Were you that kind of kid? Like kind of had to be the center of attention a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah?
For sure. Kind of, but I feel like I didn't want to do it just because of attention.
Yeah.
I definitely wanted to impress people.
Right.
Like, I wanted there to be substance to the entertainment that I'm giving them.
Sure.
Instead of just, like, acting like a fool and trying to get someone's attention. I almost want, like, the music or the magic or the art or whatever to speak for itself.
Uh-huh.
So I was very diligent on, like, practicing and making everything perfect for the performance.
Yeah.
You know?
So was it your choice to start playing piano, or was it kind of a thing where it's like parents are like, all right, look, we need to get this kid doing something?
No, I mean, they bought a nice baby grand piano that was in my living room, so it's kind of there. I think it was just I looked at it like a toy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just always play it. I bought myself a drum kit when I was like 13, so
yeah,
I was playing drums mostly. It's like drums and piano I thought were going to kind of be my thing.
Uh-huh.
And singing, I don't know, I never really considered myself a singer. until I started recording with my friends and I could hear my voice back, you know, just recording on a tape or just recording on like a crappy computer microphone or whatever, and always just figuring out kind of how I wanted my voice to sound in recordings. So that's been a definite progression since I was in middle school, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Of, like, trying to figure out what I want my voice to sound like.
Yeah. You know? Is that when you picked up a guitar as well?
No, I picked up a guitar out of... once I graduated high school.
Okay.
Yeah, so... because I only played keys, really. And so I was just like, shit, I need to learn guitar, because you can't bring keyboards everywhere. And you need, like, a sort of a serenade.
Was that the impetus? Was that the actual impetus to that? Like,
yeah,
like,
sort of.
Man, these things are heavy, and there's too many of them.
Yeah, way too many keys. I want to be able to serenade a girl on the beach.
That's always a good thing, man.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
always a good thing. Yeah. So all this is happening over in Michigan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, where did you go to college?
I went briefly to a community college in Grand Rapids.
Uh huh.
And studied some music theory and classical piano.
Yeah.
And figured out that pretty much learned everything that I wanted to learn in that setting.
I was going to ask you that. Like, did you find it useful?
I find theory very interesting.
Yeah.
But once my professors were like, you gotta be able to sight read that, because what happens when you're teaching, you're conducting a band and you can't sight read the music? And I'm like, I don't know if I'm gonna be conducting a band.
I don't know if I want to do that.
I don't know if that's why I'm here. And that's when I like started traveling more. But in hindsight, I do have to conduct a band as a frontman.
Well, sure.
It's a little bit different than sight reading and with a like conducting, actually literally conducting with a baton or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, that is a skill that would be amazing to have. I kind of wish, looking back, I was like, well, you know, that would be a good skill, but, I definitely want to conduct a band as a frontman, write the music and be able to kind of, conduct, you know, a rock band, if
right,
you will,
right.
So to speak.
Now, can you write it out not like tablature, but notate it?
Yes, kind of.
Yeah, you know that stuff.
I mean, I'm not like a virtuoso,
okay,
by any means. But
yeah,
I can notate stuff. Yeah, I can figure out some, just like counterpoint and polyphonic, notation.
Okay. Okay. I have no idea what that means.
Just trying to throw things out. If anyone is listening that like knows theory, and they're like, oh, yes.
Oh, sure. He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. Monophonic is one voice. Polyphonic is two voices.
Gotcha.
So if you have, you know, like the, if you look at the dots.
Right.
The notes, like on the staff. So if it's like, ding, 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 and then the second voice is like, ding, 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 and the other one, so, ding, 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 so it's like a harmony. Ah.
So that's polyphonic.
Yeah.
Because you got two instruments playing at the same time.
Two instruments, yeah. Two instruments, two voices.
Okay.
Something like that.
I gotcha.
But yeah.
Yeah. I never got into it. Like, it was always just like tab. You know,
you can read tabs?
I could read tab.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I have no idea how that works.
Really?
Yeah, it's totally like,
with just the numbers and the strings and stuff like that? Like,
yeah.
Oh,
I
man.
Really, I kind of taught myself guitar. Did you teach yourself guitar?
No, not really. I took lessons for a little while, and that's what I was started.
Gotcha.
Is tablature.
I'm sure it's a lot easier than I'm making it seem like.
I think
in
it
my
is,
head.
Man.
Yeah.
I think it is. Because, like, I mean, there's no, you know, there's no theory behind it, right?
Yeah.
It's just
it's pretty cut and
dry. A number, and that's the string you're playing right there.
So it's like the frets and the string.
Yes, exactly.
And does it tell you which finger to put it on, like, put on the string?
No.
No?
I don't think so. Maybe.
Huh. I don't know.
It's been a while since I've even looked at it.
Really? Okay.
But, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, tabs are strange and foreign to me, but I would like to learn this.
See,
someday.
Wow. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Totally backwards. Totally
How
backwards.
Many things, though?
What's that?
How many things, though, have you, like, put off for so long because you're like, God, this is going to be such an arduous learning process. And then once you do, you're like, why the hell didn't I do this a lot earlier?
Yeah, every day. Every freaking day, man. Like, I look around. I'm a homeowner.
Yeah.
And I have two small kids, and I'm, like, in the middle of, like, painting my house right now.
Oh, wow.
And it's just, like, every day I go out there and kind of pray for rain to come so I just can't paint.
Yeah,
you know? Like, it's, yeah. Everything's an arduous journey.
Got you. You could hire painters.
Yeah.
But there's something about, you know,
doing
pride
it yourself.
Of painting your house.
Yeah.
That's a really amazing thing.
And money comes into play, too.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, totally.
Have you painted a house before?
Yeah, I used to be a painter in college.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like
painted
like
houses.
A house painter?
House painter.
Damn.
Yeah, man. Got paid for it.
Nice.
Yeah. It's an awful job. I hated it.
Really?
Yeah. It was one of the worst.
Is it a good feeling once you finish painting a house, though?
Not somebody else's.
Stepping back.
Because then you have just another one down the line, right?
Yeah.
When you paint your own house, though... Totally different story, because then you can see your work and you'd be like, yes, this is my home.
Ah, yes.
And it looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's nice.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
Do you live in L.A. now?
I live in L.A. now.
Okay, that's the impression that I got.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I live there now.
Why move to L.A.?
Well, I didn't really mean to move to L.A.
Uh-huh.
L.A. kind of... sucked me in a way.
Yeah? Did you play a show there and just fall in love with it?
No, I didn't play any shows, really, when I first moved there. I just had, like, a lot of kind of spiritual-esque experiences when I first moved there that I was like, wow, maybe this is the place for me.
Like what?
And you think, like, L.A., like, no way you're having spiritual experiences, right?
Yeah.
But
it's kind of the first thought I had come through my head. Yeah.
But, but no, there's so many different places in L.A. And
So what happened? Give me an example.
I happened to move to a place in the hills.
Yeah.
Found a little shack. It was on Airbnb. It was like a bed and breakfast little house. It was like in the back of this family's home. And there were this very welcoming hippie esque family that had this pool and a backyard that had like art everywhere made by these three kids that they had.
Yes.
And the kids were like these really crazy, like crazy creative and like just like really talented, just like little energetic beings.
Yeah.
They always wanted to like write music together or like show me what they made, or like it was just a cool environment to be in, and there was fruit trees everywhere. It was just a very like inspiring place to live.
Well, and the weather's great.
Weather's amazing.
Right? Yeah.
People that own the house are really, really cool. They always had like pool parties with really interesting artists and people.
Uh-huh.
And they just really welcomed me to this place, and they were like, "We love your music, like of course we're gonna let you stay here, you know?"
What?
Yeah. And so
you ended up just kind of living there?
It was like an
Airbnb situation that just turned into a home.
Yeah, yeah. So I ended up living there for like a year and...
Oh, wow.
Writing a lot of music and...
Yeah.
Had a lot of time for like kind of like meditation. I didn't really know too many people out there, so there was a lot of time that I was just, you know, cooking in the treetops. It was like kind of up in the trees.
Yeah, yeah.
And really secluded and just playing a lot of music, listening to a lot of music, being inspired and not really knowing where I wanted to take things. I just wanted to create.
Yeah.
And so I met a few people. I met this guy Kennedy, who I recorded a lot of music with, and this guy Tommy.
Uh-huh.
And that I was recording with, and then pretty soon, like, I put out some demos on a website that I had, and I was getting a bunch of emails from like managers and like
people liked it.
People, yeah, and some labels and
yeah.
I was like, oh, interesting. I like when things happen or kind of organically like that, because it's like you don't want to like shove it down anyone's throat, you know?
Yeah, right, right.
And so people seemed to be enjoying what I was making. So
was this the first time that you had really done like music, for lack of a better term, for real? You know, like I mean, were you in bands? Were you playing with other people and playing shows and stuff like that? Or
yeah, I was playing a lot of shows.
Yeah,
like throughout high school, I played in a band and
okay,
but. Once I graduated, that's when I knew I wanted to start traveling just as a solo artist.
Oh, okay.
So I was in New York for, like, pretty briefly, but I was, like, recording out there, trying to find my sound. I really wanted to figure out, how am I going to make a record? What is it going to sound like? And so it wasn't until I moved to L.A. that I feel like the sound really started to...
And you just kind of figured it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was fun. It was so nice to just record in the environment. It's just so...
Yeah.
Chill. It's so chill.
It sounds pretty chill, man.
Yeah.
I was like picturing it in my brain and just like, yeah, I'd stay there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
So it's interesting.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So when it started to take off, like, and you're playing shows, like, obviously you're starting off small, right? Mm-hmm. And getting used to the kind of the musical landscape and stuff like that. But then you graduate somewhere down the line to playing in front of like 3,000 people at a thing like this,
mm-hmm.
like Bumbershoot. Was there kind of a line in the sand where it kind of made the jump, or was it a more of a gradual thing for you?
It felt gradual to me.
Yeah.
This past year has been really eye-opening for me. People seem to, like, I put out the EP last November,
uh-huh.
and I just, we didn't really establish a single off the EP or anything, really. We just kind of put it out, just, like, almost, like, threw it out there just to see what would happen uh-huh. with it. And, like, because I think my, like, management company that I signed with, we didn't want it to seem... Like, it's weird with new artists. Like, in LA, there's a lot of new artists that come out, and you can
sure.
tell if they have a huge push from a label, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the same thing up here.
Yeah.
It's the same thing here in Seattle.
Yeah, yeah.
I see it all the time.
It's like, you're like, okay, I have never heard of this person, and why do I see them absolutely
everywhere
now?
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I don't know. It's weird. You want people to be able to discover music by themselves, and... And,
yeah, but there's a lot of stuff to, like, slog through.
No, for sure.
You know?
Yeah, so... So we just put it out, and I got a few really, really nice, like, syncs with some of the music. Mm-hmm. So that was a good way of kind of getting out there.
Yeah.
A few like TV things. I feel like that's really big for artists these days.
Oh, sure.
Like,
yeah.
You know, getting their song in a new TV show or whatever. Like,
right. Or a commercial or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever viewed that as like quote unquote selling out?
No, I don't think so.
Were you ever?
I think that's how people are making a living.
No, I would agree with you.
I mean, it's like,
I would agree with you.
There's like independent artists that, you know, get their songs on like a new TV show or like a commercial or something like that. And mm-hmm. they can like use that money for the funding of their next record or
right.
like touring.
Right.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it is too.
Yeah.
Yeah. More power to you, man, for sure. Being able to do it. That's amazing. Yeah. That's awesome.
Like, as long as you feel good about it.
Well, sure.
You know, I mean, I don't know. I guess it depends on whatever, what label you put on it, you know?
Right, right. Well, people are always going to do that anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
They're going to do it for you.
Yeah. That's very true. It's so nice. Yeah. Like, after putting out this EP, it was like, I didn't have to try to explain what my music sounded like anymore. I just read all the what people were, everybody else was saying. I was like, wow, I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow,
I think it sounds great, man. I'm really stoked to hear the new album.
Mm. Thanks.
Yeah, yeah. How long had you been working on it?
Pretty much over since I finished the EP.
Uh-huh.
I kept recording, and a few of the songs that didn't make the EP are going to be on the album. But the past like 7 or 8 months has just been like touring. And then going back to LA and working on the album, like touring and working on the album.
Yeah.
So I feel like the album has a sort of, I wrote it kind of more conscious of the live show.
Yeah.
Where the EP, like, I just wrote in a studio. But I think touring and making an album makes you think like, okay, what's this going to sound like live? And like, what are all the parts that we're going to be playing? So I feel like it's a little more, has a little more live energy to it.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's good, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're happy with it?
Yeah, yeah. I'm really happy with it.
Yeah?
It was a lot of fun to make. It's, I feel like it was inspired by, a lot of these, I got all these, like, this stack of these old Playboys, and there was this laying around the studio.
Yeah.
And a lot
Where'd
of
you
time,
get those? You find them in a dumpster?
No, I mean, just like with some of my friends and my roommate had a bunch laying around. And,
yeah.
And so as I was writing these songs, I was just kind of like flipping through Playboys and like reading old ads. And the thing I love about old like 60s Playboys, 60s and 70s, which I think are the prime Playboys, is that everything, all the articles are written so... they're really creatively written and they're really like sexy, but like with play on words and stuff.
Oh, sure.
So
yeah,
many great lyrics kind of are born out of that. And there's this one song on the
record. So you were mining old like Playboy magazines?
Yeah.
For like song ideas and everything like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of, it's a good way to just, it's a good way to kind of like spark an idea in your head.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're
I
so poetically
that.
Written that.
Sure.
You know? There's one song on the album called Overnight Sensation that came from this Playboy ad.
Mm-hmm.
It was like this woman, like beautiful woman, like laying on this couch, and she's, you can see the morning light kind of peeking through the curtain behind her, and she's just like looking at you, and it's like a film photo, so it's really nostalgic looking. And
sure.
At the bottom it says "Overnight Sensation," and I was like, "Oh my god, that's brilliant!" Overnight Sensation, you know?
Oh, that's
like,
great, man.
You would never think about that in that context, but with the picture,
right,
and the title, you're like, oh
yeah, yeah.
That's totally a song.
Yeah.
And so.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So that one's on the album.
Yeah.
That's gonna be a fun one to play live.
Yeah.
But even like the album itself, how I designed the packaging and the photo on the front is actually inspired by like Playboy ads, like the front of the album.
Oh,
is
I
called,
can't wait to see this.
It's called Dopamine, and I'm like sitting in a chair.
Oh, I have seen that.
Yeah,
that's okay. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
That's like that was an ad in a Playboy.
And now that you say that, it totally makes sense.
Yeah,
I love it, dude. What a great idea.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing. That's
Thanks.
Amazing.
Thanks.
Yeah. So, so when does it come out?
It comes out October 16th.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
And And you said you're happy with everything, how everything's going and stuff. But, like, you know, I was just watching you guys play, and literally there's a crowd of 3,000 people singing your music along with you. And I just got to ask, like, what does that feel like?
What does that feel like?
Yeah.
Man, it feels like the reason why I do this, you know?
Sure.
It's like there's so many there's so many steps that songs take, you know? And, like, from just, like, the genesis of a song idea to like, writing the song, recording the song, getting out an album, putting out into the world, having people hear it, listening to it repeatedly, and then having that song in their head. Like, it's a crazy process. And
yeah,
to have that happen is, like, it's like, it makes it, it's kind of proves to me, like, this is why you do that.
Sure,
you know?
Sure. It's like, has it become normal yet?
No.
Not at all.
Not at all. No, it's a pretty magical feeling, man.
Yeah. Do you think it will? Do you think it will become normalcy?
For
you, like, how it feels, and, you know, just like, okay, you know, we're doing this, and you get off stage, you go to the next spot.
I mean, I think that's the kind of, like, personal challenge of it all.
Sure.
You know?
Keeping it fresh.
There's been times where I have played songs on stage and I completely autopiloted it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, oh my God, I sang that song and didn't even think about it. But that's why,
like, you get off and you're like, did we do that one?
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Right.
Okay.
So I always try to think about, you know, what's going to give the best show.
Mm-hmm.
And also learning all these new songs. I'm so excited to play new songs. you know, it throws a curveball at you and makes you think a little bit more. So.
And we've gone full circle in the conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
Garrett, thank you so much, man.
Thanks so much.
It's been a real
pleasure,
and it was awesome to see you play. You guys did a great job.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. Good chat, right? Good chat with Garrett Bournes. Be on the lookout for this guy, man. They are going to be doing excellent things with, of course, the help of their amazing record label, which I'm a huge fan of, Interscope Records. You can see Bournes coming up. Remember, their album drops on the 16th, which is this week. What day is that? What day is the 16th? Friday. Friday the 16th, 2015. Okay, October 13th, they will be at First Bank Center in Broomfield, Colorado. The 15th, Washington, D.C. at Rock and Roll Hotel. Excuse me, having trouble. October 17th, Brooklyn, New York at Music Hall of Williamsburg. Let's see, the 19th, New York again at the Bowery Ballroom. And then in Cambridge, Massachusetts on the 20th at the Sinclair, and on and on and on in support of the new album Dopamine, which comes out once again on October 16th, 2015 in record stores everywhere. You can go to bournesmusic.com to find out more. And I urge you to, because great dude, great music, you're going to be hearing a lot about these guys. So go check them out while you still can. Get your tickets now. All right. Let's see. Thank you so much for listening this week, everybody. We've had a great time chatting at you. And, hey, if you, have any ideas for the show, or let's see, want us to check out some new music, you can always get in touch by emailing me directly at aaron@air-raid.net. All right. And, a lot of questions coming in about the show and about other things. One from Penny, here in Seattle, listener Penny, who says, why don't you do the inspirational quote by a four-year-old at the end of every show? Well, Penny, apropos of everything, we're not going to do on this show either, because it is really, really hard to wrangle a four-year-old, guys. Really, really tough, okay? So I hope that answers your question. You can subscribe to Air Raid on iTunes, and if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. We're also available on the Stitcher, TuneIn, and Cairo Radio apps, or just visit air-raid.net to subscribe directly to our RSS feed. Keep in touch by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/theairraidpodcast or follow us on Twitter at airraidnet. Okay? And remember to take the pledge. Tell somebody about the show. All right? All right. We're going to go out this week with the song Electric Love off the new album Dopamine by Borns, out October 16th. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great week.